It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Judge Ned McLaughlin in studio already. Good morning, Ned.
Good morning.
It was very good to see you at American Legion Post 1302 on Saturday. The weather was spectacular, and what a fabulous turnout.
Yeah, it's a great event, and so many heroes there. You look around, and you're like with the superstars of our community of all ages.
And it was really great in terms of the numbers of people and business and organizations who came together to get those new six flagpoles put up and landscaped and all.
These veterans and these people who sacrificed their lives and their, you know, the time with their family for us deserve everything. And seems to me that the least we can do is show up and acknowledge that.
Sure. There were I won't get into it right now, but there's a couple of notable people who were listed as in the program and were no shows. Elected officials. I just find that an insult. They'll get recognition, you know, in the paper of attending the event, and then to not show up, very disappointing, especially when some of these individuals, as my listeners have let me know over the years, have been no shows even to provide constituent services. We need people who are out there meeting with the constituents and understanding what people are going through. It's that simple. Years ago, when you first ran and when Tracy McKenzie first ran, both you and she approached me about coming on air and explaining who you are and what you stand for. Your competitors in these races have never once approached me to come on and explain who they are and what their ideology is and their experience.
So I think that, you know, I'm here to promote my approach, my history, I've been going to thousands of homes. I go to every event I can. I always have, by the way. It's not just, I mean, I can't do politics when I'm not running, but I still go to everything. I think it's really important. You know, we hear so much from the executive, and we hear so much from the legislature, as we should. You don't really hear from the judiciary very much. And no. I think, you know, once someone's only experience is that, you know, they're either on a jury or they're there to watch some kind of proceeding. So to go out and be able to say to people, hey, I'm a real person with a real history, I think is important to people understand our world and the important role the judiciary plays.
And Ned McLaughlin, I mean, that is so important, because as I have watched, listened, witnessed, have had occasion over the years to, in business dealings, to have to, you know, be in Supreme Court, et cetera, this is really, really, really important stuff.
Yeah, you know, we can get into my background, but I come from a much different world. We were, you know, very lower economic, position in life. And I always say I had the privilege of being underprivileged, and I wouldn't change a thing. I don't want to make it sound like we suffered it. I mean, we didn't know any better. It was Tuesday.
I identify with it because that's exactly where we were.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Years later, you realize, wow, we didn't have a lot. But by the time I got to high school, people made sure I knew we didn't have a lot. But my point in bringing that up is that I never forget that, you know, normal, regular people from all walks of life are walking into my courtroom, and they're nervous, they're stressed, they're, you know, not always knowledgeable about everything that's happening. I never forget that they have the right to know what's happening and what we're going to do and what the process is, because you want to have faith in the result. And faith in the result comes from awareness of what's happening.
Sure. And exactly to your point, and I guess, you know, our backgrounds in that regard are very similar. I was born in 1948, and through the 1950s, my dad was trying to get established in the insurance business. Money was tight. There's no kidding anybody. You know, and my mom was a nurse up at the Hudson River State Hospital once the, you know, once after the kids were born, she could go back to work. But then in the years in the insurance business, you talked about the people you have seen come through the court system. Well, thousands of those individuals were the individuals, the families, the business owners we served in the insurance business for, you know, I did it for 40 years. And your some of these families we served for three decades. You've gone through the good times and the bad times with them. And I've never forgotten that. I mean, you are counseling these individuals. You know, lots of times it's a happy thing. You know, there's a marriage, they're buying a home, they're having kids, but sometimes it's catastrophic with, you know, an automobile accident or a home that burned down or a business that failed. When these circumstances happen, you know, and they go to litigation, those are the kinds of things that often will wind up in court.
So I was a prosecutor for 23 years and did mostly violent crime, homicides, things like that all over the county. And then for the last 10 years, you know, sitting on the bench. And I do the most serious criminal cases in the county. And but I'm also a Supreme Court judge, acting Supreme, and I do, you know, medical malpractice, personal injury, very serious, serious civil cases. And I always say that, you know, no one comes to my court because something good happened. And I'll say a couple things about that. Number one, you know, my role over the years, whether it's in violent crime or presiding over these very serious cases, is to try to be the voice of my community, but also to make sure everybody's treated fairly, not just the defendant, of course, but also the victims. And I really go a long way to making sure jurors are feeling comfortable and their time is respected. I'm very, very efficient. I'm on the bench every morning at 9:15, and I mean the first, like, 10 seconds of 9:15. And I communicate with everybody all the way. So, you know, it's a place where we resolve differences.
Yes.
Or we address injustices. And it's not... You're not there, you know, awarding a prize. You're there to make sure that people get treated fairly. And I will say, though, the one part of my job that I really look forward to is I get to, as a Supreme Court judge, I get to swear in new citizens.
Yes.
And if you've ever been to that, it's an absolutely compelling, inspirational.
Judge Ned McLaughlin in studio with me. Quick break. And when we come back, a more conversation with Judge McLaughlin. And I have our next Beacon Morning Money Grab word for you here on the Beacon.
Live, local, and unafraid, this is Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
Yes, it is Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. And as promised, Judge Ned McLaughlin in studio with me. So, Judge, what I'd like you to do is we've got family court and Supreme Court. Start with family court, if you will, and describe the kinds of cases that appear in family court.
So I'm in the Dutchess County Court, different from family court.
Yep.
Although we were talking about my great friend Tracy McKenzie and what her role is. Dutchess County Court presides over the most serious criminal cases in the county, the murders and robberies and drug cases and gun cases, et cetera. We have a very wide array of cases. I do a lot of trials. I'm very I try to be very efficient in that, not just for the defendant's due process rights, but also the jurors and the victims who want, you know, justice. Everybody comes there for redress. So in a given week, I'm going to be doing my calendars, which have a lot of different cases. There's a lot of agreements to have a case be resolved in a plea. A lot of people, you know, who have those needs, and I'll get into that when you're ready, in terms of mental health and drug addiction, things like that. I do a lot of trials. There's a lot of violent crime, and I deal with that. So I'm also an acting Supreme Court judge and have been for 8 years. So that's where I do personal injury, medical malpractice, try to preside over those cases and move those along too.
Yes.
Do a fair amount of trials in those areas also. So it's a very busy court. I also have been teaching at Marist College since 1994, two classes a week at night for the entire time period. I've never missed a semester. So it's a busy time.
Wow, it is a lot. So jurisdiction-wise, now we're talking about county court. Does that then handle cases specifically involved in Dutchess County?
Only Dutchess County. And again, the most serious cases, usually cases brought by the grand jury or by agreement, what's called an SCI, but only Dutchess County, although you could technically have a case if there was a series of robberies or something that spanned over other counties, including Dutchess. They could be in Dutchess, but it has to have at least some point of jurisdiction in the county.
And then as far as the Supreme Court, now that takes in the Ninth Judicial District and takes in a bigger geographic area.
Correct. But also, I get cases out of the Bronx. I get cases sometimes from other jurisdictions, and it depends if there's any connection to the Ninth Judicial District. So it's a much broader purview. And, the lawyers come from much further away. That's a much more relaxed court, but those are serious matters. People have been, are suing because they were grievously injured or they've been, treated unfairly. So although not criminal, everybody there is, interested in a proper result.
Contract disputes can wind up in Supreme Court, correct?
Oh, yes, all the time. I have a commercial, construction, sometimes business partnerships. My contracts professor was kind of an old curmudgeon who I always liked people like that, kind of a grouch, but with a sense of humor. I just have always liked people like that. And he said they shouldn't call it contracts. They should call it risk allocation. And what he meant by that was when you write a contract, you write it so that not when things go right, you write it so when things go wrong. And so when things go wrong, you want to be able to look at the contract and say, okay, whose problem is this? And who's, what do we do now? Because it's a roadmap,
Yes.
And I can say that a lot of contracts suffer from not enough foresight. And that's a lot of times when it comes to litigation, because you're looking to say, what do we do now? And the contract doesn't address it.
No. The Judge Ned McLaughlin, McLaughlin 4, and that's the numeral 4, McLaughlin4judge.com is the website. So to that point, Judge McLaughlin, I think back, and I've said this many times on air, when I started in business with my dad back around 1971, business buy-sell agreements, between partners, about two-thirds of businesses do not have a business perpetuation buy-sell agreement. Fast forward to now, and two-thirds of businesses do not have a business perpetuation plan buy-sell. And those are the kinds of things that I believe can wind up in court when, for whatever reason, whether it's the death of a partner, another owner, or just a division of the business, the discrepancies have to be resolved.
Yeah, and these are important matters to people just because they're not necessarily serious criminal cases. These are things people stress about, and they think about when people go to sleep at night and they think, what are the things I'm worried about? And it's your business, your livelihood, your future economic security. And to have a court that says, come on in, let's figure this out. I want to listen. I want to hear witnesses if necessary and figure out what's and try to have this be crossed off the list of things you're worried about. Now, the criminal cases obviously have to take priority in that, you have people who very often have been victimized. So given a trial decision, I have to, the victim's family is waiting, you know, a murder victim or a defendant is, you know, presiding and waiting to have his case resolved. Those are the cases I have to resolve. But
yes,
for each individual, which I pride myself on individualized justice, and for each individual, I recognize this is the most important thing going on for them. And I always try to respond to that with the, you know, the best practice and the best approach I can.
I have seen over the years and increasingly the idea of, and I'm going to call it legislating from the bench, as opposed to actually following the laws as written and the intent of the law. To me, this is absolutely critical if we're going to navigate our society uniformly for all.
So, you know, a judge needs to stay in his or her lane.
Yes.
And, you know, the legislature writes the laws. Sometimes they're inexact. I'll only say that. And that's where a judge has to come in and say, okay, what did they mean by this? And what's the fairest way forward? Looking at the history and et cetera. But, you know, if you want to be a legislator, run for legislature.
Yes.
If you want to be the governor, run for governor.
Yes.
If you're going to be a judge, you're the ref.
Yes.
And if you're going to be the ref, you're going to look at the statute. If you don't like the statute, then you should not, you know, that's not your role to pass judgment on it. You're supposed to, unless it's unconstitutional or something.
Yes.
But having said that, our role is to make sure that we try to manage and navigate the statutes along with the fairness and the other rules. And that's a judge's role, and they should not be legislators, and it's not their role to make new law. It's to interpret and approach the law in the fairest way possible.
Exactly. Judge Ned McLaughlin in studio with me. McLaughlin, that's McLaughlin, numeral 4, judge.com. We're going to get the sports report from the Zolls, and then back in a minute on The Beacon to further this conversation.
He's the voice of the Valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
Hudson Valley Focus, live and local on The Beacon. We have early voting happening now. And a week from tomorrow is actual election day. These are critically important elections, and often understanding who the judicial candidates are never gets the attention that it rightfully deserves. Judge Ned McLaughlin in studio with me, and I've known Judge McLaughlin since at least since he first ran for office originally, and he came in back then and laid out who he is, what his credentials are, what the responsibilities of the county court and the Supreme Court are, and the qualifications. So Judge McLaughlin, in terms of those who come before you, we talked off air, but we need to talk on air about those suffering from addiction who wind up in your court, and it's been a growing problem.
So I'll start by saying that I'm known in terms of violent crime and people who hurt children and women as being a very, very strong judge. You know, until you sit in a courtroom and listen to a victim get up and speak and feel this, you know, the pain that comes off of them. I had not long ago, two teenage girls had been abused by their grandfather, and they held on to each other as they spoke, and it was very compelling, and they had a voice. I told them that you are stronger than what he did to you, and the fact that you're here standing up for yourself with courage and with strength speaks very well that you're building a muscle that will sustain you beyond what he did to you. And I could tell you 100 other stories when it comes to, you know, the family members of murder victims, etc. But there's another kind of law and order. And the other kind of law and order is addiction and mental health that people treat with, you know, drugs is a really difficult problem for our community.
Yes.
Addiction is an absolutely voracious illness. And I tell people all the time that if you're an addict and you'll hurt the people you love most in the world and lie to them and do things, you'll definitely do that to a stranger. So it takes a very strong hand to use the levers of our system to have that person get help. I can tell you that the high profile cases I've had, whether it was the terrible murder at the Marriott of the Marist father there, or countless others, the success stories no one hears about is a year after I help someone and motivate them, quote unquote, motivate them to get help. They come back and there's a light in their eyes, and you can see that they've come back to who they were, and their family's in the back of the courtroom. And I say to them, you know, I was rooting for you. I was really hoping that you'd make it, and you made it. And I think it's time for you to be boring for a little while. Not have anything go on. Just be regular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to a movie, get a pizza with someone you care about. And their family's in the back of the courtroom nodding and shaking their head and saying, yes, please. And I said, you know, it's time to give your family a break. They're worried about you. They're worried you're going to hurt yourself or someone else. Just be, you know, regular. That's an accomplishment. And it's compelling. And it's not a big news story. I understand that the media has to...
But Ned McLaughlin, to your point, to the universe of individuals around that addict, it is everything. It is everything. It is all-consuming in terms of the emotional impact on the families and friends, the financial impact on families and friends. And so the getting individuals that you could recommend into treatment... instead of incarceration, is so critical. These are the conversations that I've had often with Dutchess County Sheriff Kirk Imperati. I've had it with MHA Dutchess CEO Andrew O'Grady. And this is the team approach to actually caring for people. This is about caring for people.
Yeah, I have, you know, obviously it's a person who uses only her first name, but she approached me at the beginning of my campaign and said, you know, can I tell you something? And I said, sure, of course. And she said, you saved my son's life. And I said, I was shocked. I said, well, that might be overstating. She said, nope. She said, we tried everything. And when he came to your court, he knew that he wasn't walking out of there without trying. And, you know, everything else we tried, the money we spent, everything didn't work. But he's the reason that he's gotten past it. He's got a job. He's just got married. And that's the kind of story that, you know, it just sustains me. And I said to her, I said, look, you know, I'm not their friend. I'm not their relative. I don't love them. You love him more than life itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And they know that. And I, you know, I'm fair and I'm respectful, but I'm like, look, this is your problem and your family's problem. You can't visit it on other people. We got to fix it, or else, you know, we got to take another path. So these are really compelling real life stories. And to your point, the ripple effects of the effects on their family,
absolutely,
the stress on them, but also others in our community who have nothing to do with these people potentially being victimized,
yes,
with either larcenies or anything else. It's just a tremendous effect, and every day I work hard to try to turn folks around, and that's law and order. Getting them back to their family is law and order.
In studio with me, Judge Ned McLaughlin, and what political endorsements do you have, if I may ask?
Well, I'm endorsed by every police department in the county on all levels that make endorsements. Some don't make endorsements.
Right.
Multiple trade unions, many of whom are, you know, not from my party, and just good, hardworking people that care about safety.
Yes.
And then, of course, the most compelling are victims, not only widows, the mother of a murder victim, teenage girl that was abused. They've all done commercials. You can go on my website and watch the endorsements. Of course, one of the most important is Melody from DMV, who's my old friend who stands out in front of DMV and greets people. It's just amazing to run a campaign and have a vast array of victims, but also survivors of abuse, but also people who have had their children overcome addiction.
Yes.
It really kind of brings home the vast responsibility I have to do the right thing. And I always tell people that they say, wow, you have kind of a heavy life. Like, I prosecuted a quintuple homicide in East Fishkill. Three little boys was killed and the parents' house was burned down. And they say, how do you deal with that? You know, you have kids. And I said, listen, I'm blessed to do something about it. Next life, I'll be an architect or an IT guy. Everybody likes the IT guy. But this life, I've committed myself and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to do something about the negatives that happen.
Well, Judge Ned McLaughlin, having known you now a number of years and have had, you know, conversations with the microphones off and the sincerity that you and understanding the roles and responsibilities for the Dutchess County Court as well as the Ninth Judicial District Supreme Court, I absolutely support the work that you do and look forward to your reelection to continue to bring this kind of even hand of justice that's so necessary in our society today.
I'm thrilled to be here. I want to get the message out, and I want everybody to understand that judiciary is working for you. It doesn't get as much press as the other branches, but it's a critical part.
Exactly. So McLaughlin for Judge, that's McLaughlin, the numeral for judge.com. And as Judge McLaughlin said, if you go on that website and look under the testimonials, you'll see the testimonials that he referred to. And there are still opportunities for volunteers to get out there and support the judge in his reelection now through next Tuesday. So, you know, please do so. We need that kind of steady hand in our legal judicial system. Quick break and then back. And, Judge, thank you very much for coming in.
Thrilled to be here.